Good morning. I have a number of announcements this morning. Our annual church breakfast will be on December the 9th in Overby Hall at 9 a.m., sponsored by the Outlook Sunday School class. They always sponsor this time of fellowship and food for the whole congregation, and everyone is welcome. Please join us for that. Our next Wednesday night supper is going to be on Wednesday, December the 5th, and the program will be our missionary, the Lees, from Cameroon, Africa. Also, this is in the Narthex, and I think back here in Sutherland, it's the Advent Christmas, a devotional, Advent devotional put out by Frontier Fellowship that's made available to everyone. You can pick up your copy here, Dunglinson Roberts, or at Sutherland. We also welcome you to join us in the juice room before and after the church service for juice and coffee. The presbytery meeting has been rescheduled to this Thursday at the November the 29th, and it will be an abbreviated meeting starting at 11:30. If you can help in any way, see Marie Louise or call the office. On December the 8th, the Danville Symphony Orchestra will be here at 8 p.m. here in this venue instead of at GW. Parking will be available in the different lots at First Baptist at the Doctor's Building, and they'll also have a shuttle for those who need assistance. I guess that's it. I think Marie Louise, in this pink thing, it says your deacon's meeting is on the 4th, but it has been changed to the 10th at 6 p.m.
Thank you.
please join me in the responsive call to worship? The Lord has said, Zion, I my resting place forever, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless its provisions. I will satisfy its poor with bread. Its priests I will clothe with salvation, and its faithful will shout for joy. There I will cause a horn to sprout up for David, a lamp for my anointed one. Let us worship God. Let us all sing together the hymn of praise, 551. Come, ye thankful people, come. God calls the church to follow him, standing by those who suffer and are in need, so that justice may roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Let us confess the ways in which we do not follow God's call, followed by our silent prayers of confession. O God of mercy, woe be upon us, for we do not obey you. We confess one baptism, yet we foster divisions in Christ's body. We observe the Lord's Supper, but work not for Christ's peace. We confess our reluctance to extend your favor to those we don't like. Forgive and restore us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. You are a God of dominion. We live by your grace alone. Amen. Please join me in the assurance of pardon. We are told in Scripture that the days are coming when God will raise up a righteous branch who shall reign and deal wisely, who shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Assure each other that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
Thank you.
Please join me in our prayer for illumination. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is taken from Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8, which can be found on pages 867 or 910 in your pew Bibles. Listen to the word of God. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, beginning in the 33rd verse, and it is the story that Heather was talking with the children about. Then Pilate entered the headquarters, again summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've only met in person one president of the United States. He wasn't president at the time, he was running for president. And some friends and I skipped lunch one day at high school and walked down to the old courthouse in my hometown of Rockville, Maryland, to hear Jimmy Carter speak. And as luck would have it, we were able to shake his hand. Now, I ended up not voting for Mr. Carter, but he went on to win the election and become president. Now, whatever you think of his performance as president, he's often rated very poorly in those lists that you see on the internet. And he lost in a landslide to Mr. Reagan the next time, but he has gone on to become one of the most beloved ex-presidents. I'm glad to say that I was able to shake the hand of that humble, tireless brother in Christ who has built countless houses, supported peace throughout the world, and still has time to mow the grass and teach Sunday school at his church. When I think of people I most admire, that most exemplify Micah's words that I use as a benediction every week, I think of Jimmy Carter, a person I never voted for. Here on Christ the King Sunday, when we sing about and read the scripture passages about and pray to Christ our King, I think about two questions that are raised by our scripture passages. What does it mean for Jesus to be our King? And later in his conversation with Pilate, when Jesus says to him, "My kingdom is not of this world, for this I was born and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And we, like Pilate, want to know, what is truth? Pilate understands better than the Jewish leaders that this Jesus is somebody special. He understands that he is being falsely accused and that Jesus' power and authority are something new, something never seen before. Although it is not political power, it is not religious power, it is something that surpasses either of these worldly standards by which we measure kingship. Jesus is speaking words of truth that are not of this world as well. Both the idea of a king and a belief in the truth are in short supply these days. Theologian Frederick Buechner once wrote, "If the world is sane, then Jesus is mad as a hatter, and the Lord's Supper is the mad tea party. The world says, mind your own business. And Jesus says, there is no such thing as your own business." The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success. And Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully. The life you save may be your own. And Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world says law and order. Jesus says love. The world says get, and Jesus says give. In terms of the world's sanity, Jesus is crazy as a coot, and anybody who thinks he can follow him without being a little crazy, too, is laboring less under a cross than under delusion. We are fools for Christ's sake. The Apostle Paul says, ultimately, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. The lunacy of Jesus is saner than the grim sanity of the world. By the world's standards, Jesus was a loser. He was a Jewish rabbi with a small following in a small province in a backwater of the Roman Empire, who was spurned by his own people. He died a horrible death, suffering unspeakable torture and humiliation, and yet his words were and have been remembered for millennia. His deeds of power recounted for many generations. Through the Holy Spirit, he has brought hope to the hopeless, inspired love in the midst of hate, and spoken truth where there was nothing but lies. There really is no other explanation for the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and so many acts of love that he inspired others to do, than that his authority does not come from this world, and his truth goes well beyond human definition. It is a truth that many have tried to explain, but it remains completely elusive. The author of the book of Revelation tried to explain it using words that we read this morning. The author says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priest, serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Those of us who worship Jesus Christ, place ourselves in his service, we seek to follow. And we begin with the recognition that we are not to lord it over others. Our witness is counter to the prevailing and perennial examples of world leaders who abuse their position by exploiting the ones for whom they are charged to care. Jesus, our teacher and our master, washes feet. He tells us to do likewise. If the Spirit of the Lord speaks through us, our words and acts are to reflect the God who calls us. To rule justly is to fear God and no other. Christ the King Sunday demands that we assess how we use our influence and our power and our privilege and our gifts. Do we lord it over others, or instead seek their interest? Do we look to please God or capitulate to earthly adulation? Do we strive for integrity or scramble for status? Christ the King is a servant Lord, and our lives should imitate Christ's example. The one who is now seated at the right hand of God to judge the quick and the dead made us to be a kingdom of priests who worship God and care for people, and in doing so serve the Lord. Even in glory, the the King of Kings intercedes for us, prays for us, never abandons us. Until that time when we gather around the heavenly throne, we can be encouraged because we know we are not alone, nor are we without purpose. The risen Christ enlists us in service for the sake of the world that he so loves. We are regents entrusted to act in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, such knowledge gives us pause, humbles us, moves us to prayer. Executive orders and unilateral decrees are not the stock and trade of Christians. We are to work together in community, one body, many members, with Christ and no other as the head. We are to seek to discern Christ regardless of what any other authority may want. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one betrayed and arrested and beaten and mocked and summoned by Pilate, tells the ruler with the power to kill him, "My kingdom is not of this world." Faced with the opportunity to spare himself, he chose truth over safety. Jesus says he came to testify to the truth. Whoever belongs to that truth listens to my voice. Are we listening to Jesus' voice? In a season awash in lies, a time when not just talk, but truth is deemed cheap or worthless, those of us who worship the King of the Jews must testify to the truth, no matter what the cost. In the words of Kate Cannon, "Even when they tell you your truth is a lie, tell it anyway." When earthly kings, prefects, emperors, and politicians shrug their shoulders and ask dismissively, "What is truth?" disciples of Jesus Christ bear witness to the truth, to God's truth, to the gospel truth of unchanging truth, that found in the Ten Commandments, God's prophets, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' new commandment, and his words from the cross. No matter what the cost, no matter if position, or no matter if some may refuse to hear it, no matter if some seek to silence it, no matter if people in positions of power, whether they be secular or religious, condemn it and us. The language of kingship may bother us greatly, but only if we equate the king with earthly authorities. Like so many other words, concepts, and institutions, the model of Jesus reframes the idea of kings, redefines the idea of kingship, reforms it, restores it. On Christ the King Sunday, point to Jesus, risen Lord, servant Savior, crucified Messiah. Point to Christ the King of Kings in all that you do and say. Fear God, strive for God's will and not your own. Be the priestly regents who extend forgiveness and compassion in the name of the one who anoints and appoints us. And never forget that the body of which we are a part has the head of Jesus, who wore a crown of thorns. Testify to that truth, the gospel truth, God's truth, the truth that the world needs to know. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in your aids to worship. Let us affirm together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing our next hymn, number 171, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Please be seated. We have a long list of folks that we want to keep in our prayers, but do we have any other additional prayer concerns or joys that anybody would like to share today? Okay. All right. Well, we'll lift our hearts and minds to God in prayer. O Lord, you are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You govern our lives by your infinite wisdom and mercy, your grace and peace and truth that know no end. Help us to put ourselves in your loving hands, to know when we are wrong, to repent when we have sinned, to continue to grow as you lead us to an ever-expanding knowledge of your love. Part of that love comes through prayers and concerns for others, through offering our gifts, for thanking you for the many blessings that we are privileged to be a part of, for our country, for our families, for our church, for our community. We ask your blessings upon all of them, that we may be worthy disciples, worthy servants to our brothers and sisters, wherever we may find them and in whatever condition we may find them, whether they be hurting or mourning, seeking guidance or strength, whether they need a special measure this day or a continuing presence throughout a long and hard illness. Lord, be with them through our prayers. Help them know of our love and support. Help them especially know of your Son's love and support. We lift up to you some by name. We lift up countless others in our hearts. And we ask that you would hear our prayers for each one, whether mentioned or lifted silently. We lift to you Amy and Lisa, Charles and Lib, Matthew, Diane, Jane, both Jameses, Diane, Martha Jo, Gail, Beth and Bill. Hear our prayers for Jane, for Ellen, for Lee and Dana. Hear our prayers for Freya as he celebrates his birthday today. Ella, Sandra, Jim, Willem, and Tom. We ask that you would continue to hear our prayers for Joe, for Claudine, for Ben, for Helen, for Jay and Nulty. Lord, hear our prayers for all of our service personnel, especially at this time of year when they yearn to be home. And yet, through their duty and service, they protect us. They bring peace to the world. Help them, protect them, guide them in all that they do, and bring them home. Also, for those who serve here at home, our first responders, our police, our medical professionals, our fire personnel, help them as they seek to serve in very dangerous circumstances, and help them to inspire us to serve others as well. Lord, hear our prayers and bind us together as your people under one King, your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. Lord God, especially on this weekend in which we have celebrated and thanked you for so many things, let us turn our grateful hearts to you one more time and ask that you would lift up all that we bring to you this day as our tithes and offerings, that they may be a blessing to so many in this community, in this congregation, and throughout the world. Bless it. And help us use it in your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, and our final hymn is number 151, Crown Him with Many Crowns.